Blog Talk Radio.
Aaron McCready.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Ron Flatter. A suspected shooter who killed a sheriff's deputy has been captured in Northern California. Fox 40 in Sacramento reporting the man was found inside a home in Auburn, east of Sacramento. What began as a carjacking led to the wounding of four people, including three officers.
The person inside the vehicle fired several rounds at Officer Danny Oliver. At least one of those rounds struck Deputy Oliver in the forehead, which caused his death.
Sacramento County Sheriff Scott Jones, the other deputies, were wounded in neighboring Placer County, where the suspect was found. An armed woman with him is already in custody. There was a deadly gun attack at a high school north of Seattle. Jessica Rosenthal reporting live from Fox News Radio's West Coast Bureau.
A student opened fire inside the cafeteria at Marysville Pilchuck High School.
We have a total of six individuals that were involved. Two are deceased. One is a male, he was the lone gunman, and one is a female.
Marysville Police Commander Rob Lamoureux says the shooter killed himself. Four others were injured, three critically. Witnesses say the student with the gun seemed to target specific people. A student who says he knew the shooter says he'd recently broken up with a girl and had gotten into a fight before football practice a couple of weeks ago over the possible use of a racial slur involving Native Americans, Ron.
Jessica saying federal standards aren't good enough. New York and New Jersey are ordering quarantines for medical workers coming back from the Ebola zone in West Africa into New York area airports.
We are no longer relying on CDC standards. There are now New York, New Jersey standards.
Governor Chris Christie of New Jersey, where a woman is in quarantine despite having no symptoms. Mississippi Supreme Court has just rejected a challenge from Chris McDaniel, who lost a Republican runoff to incumbent Senator Thad Cochran in a disputed result. The judges say McDaniel waited too long to appeal. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
This is Doug Benson from the hit podcast, Doug Loves Movies. Stay tuned for this week's Watch This, Not That movie review after a word from our sponsor.
Walmart presents Be Ready for the Office Coffer.
Every office has one. That awesome guy who's so committed that he comes to work even when he's sick. So you get to share much more than just email.
Be prepared with 19-ounce Lysol disinfectant spray for $4.97, 80-count Lysol wipes for $4.63, and two packs of 12-ounce NyQuil DayQuil severe cold and flu on rollback for $13.79.
Walmart shopper one, coughing guy zero.
Save money, live better, Walmart.
Hey everybody, Doug Benson here. Time for Watch This, Not That. In theaters now, Annabelle and the Judge. In Annabelle, a creepy doll comes to life and terrorizes an innocent family. In The Judge, the great Robert Duvall is still alive and terrorizes a bunch of lawyers. So go see The Judge and not Annabelle. This has been Watch This, Not That. Don't forget to check out my podcast, Doug Loves Movies, on iTunes.
It turns out it was the body of a missing University of Virginia student that was found last weekend in the woods near Charlottesville. Authorities confirming the identity is 18-year-old Hannah Graham. She hadn't been seen in 6 weeks. The man who was shot and killed by New York City police after he used a hatchet to attack four rookie officers yesterday was considered to be self-radicalized. Zale Thompson had a track record on social media.
The common thread that goes through those conversations anti-Western, anti-government, in some cases anti-white.
Deputy Police Commissioner John Miller. One officer is still hospitalized with a critical head wound. The three people who died when a small plane and a helicopter collided over Frederick, Maryland yesterday were all inside the helicopter.
The helicopter, the damage is significant. And that's really as far as I'm willing to go.
Federal investigator Brian Rayner, two passengers in the plane survived by deploying a parachute attached to the plane. A controversial religious monument was vandalized in Oklahoma.
Somebody drove across the lawn of the state capitol in Oklahoma City Thursday night and deliberately smashed into the granite Ten Commandments monument, which is just steps away from the entrance to the state capitol. That person then abandoned their vehicle and left the scene, but then Friday morning walked to a nearby federal building, and the Secret Service says he was making threats against the president and the government, and then admitted he was the one who destroyed the monument. He said Satan made him him do it. Officials say the man is bipolar and has been off his medication. In Oklahoma City, I'm Beth Myers for Fox News Radio.
Baseball's World Series resumes in an hour in San Francisco, where the Giants and Kansas City Royals are tied at one win apiece. The two teams will spend the weekend by the Bay. There is a forecast of rain late tonight, although perhaps after the game is over. I'm Ron Flatter, Fox News Radio.
You have read about him in the Huffington Post. You have seen him quoted in Esquire magazine. The Washington Post writes about him, and you saw him on MSNBC. This is Aaron McCready. Give Aaron a call at 646-200-3400. That's 646-200-3400. Also follow him on Twitter at Aaron McCready or visit him on the web at AaronMcCready.com.
Welcome to the broadcast, everyone. I am Aaron McCready. It's great to have you with us, broadcasting live around the world from none other than Atlanta, Georgia. And it's great to be with you today. We are a featured show on blogtalkradio.com. You can give us a call if you'd like to be one of our many callers today, 646-200-3400. That's 646-200-3400. You can also follow me on Twitter at Aaron McCready. That's Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, M-C-C-R-E-A-D-Y. And I actually have live conversations on there. So, you know, if you send me a tweet on Twitter, I will definitely respond to you. And then also go on my website, AaronMcCready.com. Most of the previous shows are there. And you can follow the show, follow on with Twitter. And it'll instantly link you up with me on there. But great to have you with us. We've got a lot to talk about. As you heard the news, we've got a gunman who killed two California deputies. We had a school shooting today over in, I believe it was New York, a madman, and they're calling it terror. But a madman went after two police officers with a hatchet. He got one of them in the head. I mean, what's the world coming to? I mean, it's a very, very scary place. And you know, someone earlier said, you know, does it start with the parents? And I believe it does. It does start with the parents. It's up to the parents to bring children up into the world, a great upbringing. Maybe I'm old-fashioned, but that's, you know, too many times parents take a hands-off approach to their children. And look what happens. There's no guidance. There's no direction. You have people going after authority, after police officers, no respect. You have children killing other children because, in my opinion, in this case in Washington, it appears from other students and what they're saying that it was over a breakup, that can't handle rejection, can't handle criticism. And I don't know about the child or the kid that you know, killed one person, injured a couple others, it seems like. But it just makes you wonder about the parents. You know, at that young of age. And then we have teenagers and girls that want to go join ISIS. It just makes no sense. So we're going to talk about that in a little bit. We're also going to talk about, we've got a big time election in Georgia. And a couple weeks ago, I had the great honor with Greg Williams and Charles Horde going down to Perry, Georgia, and covering the gubernatorial and Senate debate live down there. We were the only ones broadcasting live, so that was a great honor to go down there with those two. And we met a lot of people, made good friends, interviewed various politicians. Sonny Perdue, if you're in Georgia, I know you know him, two-term governor before Nathan Deal, our current governor, interviewed him, and just a great guy. And I really enjoyed our time down there. And it was just a scene to behold. I'm going to post that on my website. We did a live TV broadcast there, too, on the Internet. And I'm going to post that on my website so that way you guys can see it. So hopefully we'll have it either up today or tomorrow. But like I said, we've got a big-time election going on in Georgia right now. And really, the balance of power could come in the Senate. United States Senate could really come down to Georgia. We have a Republican and a Democrat. David Perdue is the Republican. Michelle Nunn is the Democrat. And I mentioned Sonny Perdue earlier. It's actually the cousin of Sonny Perdue is David Perdue. But David Perdue is a businessman. This will be his first elected office if he wins the election. And then we got Michelle Nunn. Her father was a senator for Georgia for many, many years, so she's well known. Then on the gubernatorial side, we've got our sitting governor, Republican Nathan Deal, and he has actually two opponents. Jason Carter, the grandson of President Jimmy Carter, is running for governor on the Democratic side. And then on the Libertarian side is actually Andrew Hunt. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he's a doctor also. But we're going to go straight to the busy phone lines. We've got Joel from Georgia. He is actually a Purdue supporter and also a Andrew Hunt supporter. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Aaron. I appreciate it. Joel McCutcheon. I'm from LJ, Georgia, and I'm a graduate of Georgia Tech and a very strong supporter of both Dr. Andrew. He is a doctor. He's a small businessman, conservative. He's not a career politician like Nathan. And David Perdue, David is an extremely intelligent, successful business leader. I spent a couple hours one-on-one with him. Extremely impressive. And I think Hunt and Perdue both are great, would be great leaders. And we're trying to start a national deal on not reelecting career politicians. You know, I think they're the problem. I just had my seventh grandchild, and he owes $18 trillion when he's born. And it's because, right, Aaron, these career politicians who talk conservative and then vote for more government, they're the problem. And so I've got a national movement going to try to get everybody not to vote for any more career politicians. Unless you're positive, they're putting the taxpayers first, and about 99.9% of them are not doing that. So I think we need new leaders in the country.
Well, now, before we get too far into this, I need you to convince me of something. Why should I not kick you off the air? You said you graduated Georgia Tech. I'm a Georgia fan, so, you know, we may have a problem here already.
Now, listen, my grandfather, Frank McCutcheon, was captain. You can look up the record, captain of the 1900 Georgia team, and scored two touchdowns to beat Georgia Tech. So even though my son and I are Georgia Tech graduates, I've got my grandfather was captain of the Georgia team, so I've got some. I'm not against Georgia. I'm just for Tech, except for the one game when they played Tech. And they all be for them all the time because you've been beating Tech pretty easily, haven't you?
Well, there's always this year, you know. Who knows? But I guess you can. Anyways, what makes you know? A lot of people say, you know, why throw away your vote? You know, it's a Libertarian. They have no chance. And you know, I was at the debate, like I said, in Perry, Georgia, and the three of them were there. And I actually was pretty impressed with him. But, you know, playing devil's advocate here, and other people say, well, why are you going to vote for him when he has really no chance?
Well, let me tell you, I disagree with your thing, he has no chance. Do you remember up in Virginia, nobody thought that Dave Brown had a chance to beat Cantor. I think Cantor was about 30 points ahead at the last day of the last week of the for the election. And, of course, as you know, Brad beat Cantor by about 10 points. Who would have thought Mississippi State would be the number one team in the country? Nobody. Nobody thought that Brandt would beat Cantor. Listen, I talked to Andrew Hunt about three or four times a day. He is not a career politician. He's a great small business leader. And so, see, I think it's a mistake to say he can't win. Who knows, Aaron? Nobody knows. You didn't think Mississippi State would be number one at the start of the year. You didn't think Dave Brandt would beat Eric Cantor. So, Andrew Hunt can beat Deal and Carter. Is it a long shot? Of course it is. But there could be a tsunami moving toward Hunt because I think the American people are tired of these career politicians. We need new blood. And, you know, like we got a new quarterback at Georgia Tech. I think he's the best quarterback we've ever had. He runs a 4.440. And I think you're going to have – Daz Anderson's a good friend of mine, and I think Tech's going to have some great football years with Justin Thomas, just like y'all are having a great year with Todd Gurley. And, boy, that Chubb guy, he's great, isn't he?
Now, he is pretty good. 6'4", 6'200", 3'400
is
the show.
I'm fired up. I tell you, we got a national radio show for 25 years, and I call, you know, Hannity and Limbaugh a lot of the talk shows. And I tell you, the people – I'm up in North Carolina now, and People are tired of voting for career politicians. Nathan's a good guy, but he's been in office 21 years. He represented me in Congress for 18 years. I think he's a great guy, but I never have thought he's never. I do not now. I never have thought he was a conservative. Andrew Hunt is a conservative, small businessman. He's got his doctorate degree. He's not a career politician. I voted for him with passion and enthusiasm, Aaron, and I think he may surprise you.
Well, now, let me ask you this. You know, someone going into that's not a career politician and going into the governor's office, I mean, aren't they behind from the beginning because they really don't know how it works and the way to make things happen? And why turn away
Deals increase spending for every year for 3 years. That's not conservative. Andrew wants to cut spending. He wants to cut waste. He wants to, he's a smart guy.
But back to my question, though. I mean, wouldn't he be behind the ball to begin with because he doesn't know the inside outs of the Gold Dome?
Well, no, that doesn't matter. Ronald Wilson Reagan, who I think is the greatest president in the history of the country, he was elected governor of California without any experience, and he went on to become the greatest president. So I think the political experience is, you know, they learn how to do a lot of bad things. Pork barrel spending, you know. Isaacson voted for the $200 million bridge to Alaska to nowhere. I think we need some new blood. Hunt's got a doctorate degree. We need to, Aaron, get away from these career politicians. We need to wake up the taxpayers. I'm trying to Paul Revere the taxpayers. They've been asleep for 50 years. I'm trying to wake them up. We need new blood. Nathan's a nice guy, but he's been in office 21 years. How about some new leadership, Aaron?
Well, now, let me ask you this. If David... Let's say David Perdue went in, or let's say Andrew Hunt went in to let's say Andrew Hunt was Governor Hunt.
Okay.
And then he decided, okay, he wants to run for Senate, and then he ran for Senate, and then, 6-year terms, couple terms, he wins, and now he's in office for 12 years, and then, 12 plus 8, that's 20 years.
That's
and then
20
now
years,
he's in office.
What's the question? Yeah,
my question is, then Andrew Hunt, would he then be a career politician?
And you wouldn't vote for him unless you were positive that he was putting the taxpayers first, and 99% of the American politicians in office are not doing that. So
I would tell Andrew
himself, I talk to him about three times a day, I'd say, Andrew, you've been governor 4 years, you've done a good job, we'll elect you, been there for 8 years, and for Senate, though, you've got to convince me and the voters that you're going to put the taxpayers first in the Senate just like you did in the a governor's mansion. And if you can't do that, I won't vote for him, Aaron. I mean, I think really, my opinion is Andrew will just, if he's elected, he'll run for governor and that'll be it. I doubt that he would run for Senate. It's just like...
Yeah, and that's what's so great about the United States. You know, people, ordinary, everyday Americans, no matter where you came from, and especially even in the early days of our country, and but I'm talking to our listeners, but, there were farmers, they were, just... all across the board, and that's what makes this country great. You get so many people from so many different walks of life that have no experience in this, and it really brings out the best in America. And then look where we're at now, like you said, with the career politicians. I mean, my goodness, they get up there in Washington, they lose their minds, they're just in it for themselves. They only care about getting reelected, and that's their number one job. So they'll tell us something and then go do something else. So, I'm not voting for Andrew Hunt, but you make a very compelling case, and I definitely see your point. And but we need less career politicians.
Well, see, the founding fathers, I think they intended for people to go up there to Washington serve in Georgia House or Senate for 2 to 4 years. All this career stuff is, and think about, I wish you would think a little bit about what you're doing voting for Deal. He's a nice guy, but the cost of government's going up every year under him. I really don't think he's a conservative. I know Andrew Hunt is. And, we got to give, it's just like in a football game, if you got a quarterback that's not doing the job, you put in a new quarterback. And, you've got a boy, Hudson Mason, pretty darn good quarterback. He may be as good as Aaron Murray for it's over. Who we know?
Let's not get carried away.
We need some new leadership. And you're a leader. And I think if you take a position that you're going to vote for to reelect these career politicians, Aaron, when you look yourself in the mirror to shave each day, you got to think, am I part of the solution or am I part of the problem? I think you've got to rethink what you're doing. You listen to that debate Sunday night. Honey is a brilliant man. He's a small businessman. He's not an attorney. He's not a career.
He came across though, and he's a great man, but he came across in the debate as a little bit more moderate than I like.
Well, he's really not. I think he's much more concerted in deal. But you know, we can disagree on that. But I think we can agree. Hopefully, we can agree that we need new leaders. If we keep electing the same people that have given us the $18 trillion national debt and spend more money each year as governor, we're never going to change anything, Aaron, and that's what I want to do. I want to see some changes. I am not going to vote for any more career politicians unless they can prove to me they've got to earn the Joe McCutcheon vote. If they can't prove to me that they're putting the taxpayers first, Joe McCutcheon's not going to vote for them, pure and simple.
Well, I respect that. Let's move on over to David Perdue real quick. Now, David Perdue. And, you know, one thing about him is, you know, I always say on the show, for other listeners out there, the United States is like a big, just a massive, massive business, and we're on the boards of this. We're on the board of this massive organization, the voters, me, you, everybody, and so we vote in the leaders, and we can hire them, fire them, whatever. And one thing that I really like about David Perdue, and 646-200-3400 is the call-in number, but one thing I really like about David Perdue is he does come from business. He's a very successful businessman. He turned around multiple companies. And people say that when they talk to him that he's the smartest man in the room, and I think that he has the guts to stand up to them up there in Washington, represent Georgia values. But I think then you look at Michelle Nunn, and even at the debate I was at, there is no comparison between the two. I mean, Michelle Nunn couldn't answer half the questions. She looked like she was caught in a deer in the headlights. I mean. Tell me your opinion, David.
I was on Comedy Central as Romney's number one supporter in the country. I spent an hour and a half with David Perdue, just the two of us. I would vote for Perdue as a brilliant guy. He told me, he said, Joe, I want to go to Washington because of my grandchildren, the same reason I'm telling you not to vote for career politicians, because of the $18 trillion debt. Ted Cruz, who's the number one taxpayer champion in the world, he can't come into Georgia tomorrow to campaign for David. Rand Paul came in today. Ted Cruz wants David Perdue up there to help him attack this $18 trillion debt. I want to predict on your great radio show, I think David Perdue will go down as one of the greatest taxpayer champions in the history of the world. This guy is brilliant. I knew Romney well. Google me, Joe McCutcheon, you'll see I was the number one supporter of Romney in the country on the Comedy Central show. Listen, Perdue is great, and I think Andrew Hunt is great. Those guys are real great leaders, and Aaron, you're a leader, and the leaders have got to wake up in this country and stop collecting career. But David Perdue is just what I want. He's a guy. I'm a businessman. I was small businessman of the year in 75. I went to school at Georgia Tech with Sam Nunn. I know Nunn well. I was the first leadership Georgia class with him. I like Sam. But David Perdue is much more conservative than Michelle Nunn, and he'll be one of the greatest senators in American history. And you got to realize that when Cruz comes down, and Paul, the top two taxpayer champions in the world, as far as I'm concerned, to campaign for David Perdue, that tells me that they know that Perdue is a jock.
Well, you know, I agree with you. And you know what that we're going to see? And I believe this is going to come in, and it's a shame that it's going to happen like this, but we're going to go into a runoff election. And I tell you what, the balance of power in the Senate is going to come down to, in the United States Senate, is going to come down to Georgia. And we think we've seen it right now. I mean, when this thing goes through Christmas and the first of the year, and everybody's focused on Georgia, it might as well be a presidential election. It's just going to be crazy between the Democrats and Republicans.
Well, you know, this is a good time I've gotten David Pennington. He ran for governor. He's a good friend of mine. He's going to help me launch this national movement to stop people from, you know, to ask people not to vote for career politicians. I think this will be, because I want David to win without a runoff. I believe that he's the Tea Party Patriots endorsing today. He's got Huckabee coming in. He's got Cruz. I think you're going to see a surge for Perdue the next 10 days, a huge surge in my opinion. But if there is a runoff, and I hope there's not, I want David to win without one. I think he will. But if there is one, that will bring a lot of attention to Georgia, and hopefully give me a chance to articulate my thoughts on telling people not to ever vote for career politicians, because that's why my grandchildren have an $18 trillion debt. It's because of career politicians. And people like us, Aaron, that vote to reelect these people, when we look ourselves in the mirror to shave or comb our hair in the morning, we got to look at ourselves and say, are we a part of the problem? I think if you vote for career politicians, you are a part of the problem, my dear friend.
Well, you know what?
I really can't agree with you. Even though I'm voting for Nathan Deal, I can't disagree with you. But let me – now, one other thing, and this is going to be like self-promotion on my part, and I'm not you know, I'm not afraid to admit it. But evidently, I need to hire you as the show's booking agent with all your connections. My goodness.
Well, I have a lot. I have a lot, and I'm dedicating my life. I've been the number one caller to national talk shows. I'm glad to talk. I've been the number one caller to national talk shows for 15 years. I've been on C-SPAN, Limbaugh, Hannity, you name it. And today, yesterday, I called C-SPAN, Steve Scully, he's a good friend of mine. He runs C-SPAN and also Hannity, and told him about my national movement to get wake up the American. I'm going to be the Joe McCutcheon. I'm going to be the next Paul Revere. I'm waking up the taxpayers not to vote for career politicians, because if you do, you become, Aaron, part of the problem. You're just exacerbating the more spending, more taxes, more debt. What is our current governor doing about cutting waste? Tell me. What's he doing? Nothing.
Well, you're right. He's not doing anything. But I think
we got a new guy in the game. You know, it's like in Georgia, you got the great Todd Gurley. You've had Herschel Walker. You have new players. You have probably the best running backs in the history of football. And you beat my Georgia Tech team. You have new players. You don't have the same career politicians. And they're new people. We need to get away from voting for career politicians. And I love your show. How many listeners do you have? Do you have any idea?
Yeah, well, in the Georgia vicinity, and that could be like Georgia, you know, bordering state Tennessee, it's 57,000, which is, it's pretty good. It's pretty decent for a little show like this.
Well, that's great. I'm proud of you. I was a talk show host for 25 years. I had my own television show up in LJ, and you can Google me, Joe McCutcheon. My son Kelly's president of the Georgia Public Policy Foundation, so... He has to be nonpartisan. He can't speak out like I do, but he is. He works to, you know, to cut concern. He'd be a good guest on your show sometime. He's smarter than I was. He graduated valedictorian and made the highest honors at Georgia Tech. I was president of the student body, but I didn't graduate with highest honors. But I tell you, Aaron, let's make this thing happen. Leaders, good leaders make things happen. I'm telling you, my dear friend, we have got to get away from voting for these career politicians, Aaron, because they are the problem. They are not the solution. I'm going to vote the rest of my life to doing that, and it's an honor to be on. In fact, really, I'm going to get on C-SPAN and some of these other shows, but I just came up with this idea when I came up here and saw my little grandson, who's just my seventh grandchild, only in 18 trillion, and I looked at him and I said, my goodness, this poor little kid never voted, and he owes $18 trillion because of career politicians. So
that's really sad, isn't it?
I'm going to get on every show in America, and I'm going to, just like I'm telling you, I'm saying, Aaron, please don't become part of the problem. Do not ever again career politician unless you're sure they're putting the taxpayers first, and 99.9% of them are not doing that, and you know that. Right.
Well, you're exactly right, and you know it amazes me too that you know as bleak as our current president and I could, I'm not going to comment on him because then I'll run out of time. But anyway, our current president, you know, his numbers are dismal, but the United States Congress is in the teens on their approval rating. But then when you ask somebody, how's your congressman doing? Oh, they're doing a great job. It makes zero sense to me, and I think you're onto something.
Well, it's just like you. I can tell you're a fine person. But yeah, you just told me you're voting for Nathan Deal. So, you know, you got to think. We got to wake up, people. I'm trying to be the new Paul Revere. Joe McCutcheon's going to be the new. You got to think. Am I part of the solution? Am I part of the problem? My dear Aaron, I'm telling you, when you're voting for a career politician, you're a talk show host, you have become part of the problem, because
we're
never going to change. If everybody voted like you, well, you know, we need to change, but I'm going to vote for the same.
I'll tell you why I'm voting for Nathan Deal, because you go around, and when we were in Perry, Georgia, we interviewed the chairman of the Georgia Republican Party, and he said,
right,
you know, when he's driving around, he sees all these signs, and he said, you know, why all yard signs doesn't indicate doesn't win you elections, it indicates your popularity. And when I'm driving around, I notice these things. And you know how many Andrew Hunt signs I've seen? I haven't seen a single one. So I think if he's a great guy, I know. And I've talked to him once before, not as many times as you have, but I've talked to him before. And he's a great guy. And my wife's talked to him more times than I have, and she's not even into politics. But, but you know, when I drive around and I don't see any Andrew Hunt signs, I got to think to myself, okay, my vote really means something to me, and I don't want this case like a 1992 election where you got Perot, Clinton, and Bush, and then we freaking get Bill Clinton in office.
Let me ask you a question. Have you heard of Dave Brandt before? If I'd mentioned Dave Brandt to you 2 or 3 months ago, you would have said who, right?
Oh, well, of course.
He's the guy that beat Cantor. If I told you that Mississippi State was going to be the number one team in the nation before the year, you would have laughed at me, right?
But there's not a single yard sign. I don't even see any support for Hunt.
Well, he's got some. He's got some. See, that's the thing. You've got to tell you, who thought David had a chance to be Goliath? When you take a guy like Hunt, he doesn't have the lobbyists and doesn't have the big advertisers and all that. He doesn't have that. But what he does have, and I think will have, hopefully, maybe not this election, but in the future, are the voters, the taxpayers who are paying these big salaries to these people. And basically what we got to do is we've got to help those people like Andrew Hunt. We got to help them because they represent us, the people. They don't represent, the big corporations and that kind of thing. And I like some of the big corporations. I'm a stockholder and so on. But I'm saying just because somebody doesn't have yard signs up and everybody has that. Who had heard of, Reagan? Reagan came from nowhere.
But it's still living in the real world, though. I mean, come on. I mean, if you look at all the polls and everything, he's really not going to have a chance.
Well, nobody – Cantor was – according to the polls, Brad was 30 points behind Cantor the week of the election, and he won by 10 points. I'm not saying he's going to win, but he could surprise you. But when you take a guy and you say, you can't win, it's like telling – well, it's like Tech in Georgia. The odds are Georgia's going to beat Tech this year. But if you remember last year, we got ahead of you 20-0. You came up and caught up with, went overtime, and you won the game. Girly went wild, and you won the game. But you know, most people thought Georgia were. I think most Georgia fans were surprised at the end of the regular game. It was tied, right? Most people thought Georgia would be way ahead and would win the game. They were tied. So what I'm saying is don't just take a guy like Andrew Hunt. What happens is when people say, oh, he doesn't have a chance. Well, most people thought they didn't have a chance against Goliath. Mississippi State didn't have a chance. Dave Brandt. You've got to help those people. That's how Reagan got
to.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying when people like you who are leaders say that Hunt doesn't have a chance, it's like telling
doesn't.
Me that
he doesn't have a chance.
Let's. There's a lot can happen in a week. There could be a tsunami of approval coming to him. But anyway, look, I vote for people.
I'll tell you what, if he wins, I will come up to LJ myself and buy you a cup of coffee.
Well, I want you to come to LJ and have lunch with me. We'll have a good talk. And I want you to, you're the first show, I'm going to get on a lot of national shows about not voting for career politics, but you're the first one, Aaron, I've been on. And I just saw your, I think we're Facebook. Yeah, we're Facebook friends.
We probably are,
Joe McCutcheon, so we're Facebook friends. But anyway, come up to LJ and have lunch with me. We'll discuss this. And I think Nathan Deal's a nice guy. I don't have anything against him. I like him as a person. I just think we need a new quarterback in the game and some new players, and that's all I'm saying.
Well, hey, I'm with y'all, about the career politicians. And even though I'm talking about both sides of my mouth, I know, and I'm voting for Nathan Deal, but – we can agree on David Perdue for sure, though. I mean, my goodness.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's like Ronald Reagan said, don't get mad at somebody that you agree with. I think you and I would agree on 80 or 90%. We may not agree on Nathan, but I think he's a nice fellow. I like him as a person. But anyway, I love your show, and I'm glad I found it. And I'll be calling in some more. And come up and have lunch with me, and we'll have a good time, okay?
Well, I definitely will. And, hey, if we agreed on every single issue, we wouldn't be human. So.
That's right. I mean, that's how you learn. You learn from people that don't. Hopefully, you've learned some from me, and I've learned some from you, and we learn and we grow. But I love talk shows, so I appreciate you, and I'll encourage everybody to listen to the what. Now, when are you on your own? What night?
Well, you can follow it on Twitter, and it's always posted on there. It actually varies each night, and but you can always listen to the previous episodes on AaronMcCready.com, and we're actually going to have a show on Sunday night and then also this coming Tuesday. Same time.
Well, I wish you the best, and I'll tell people that Joe McCutcheon's for the Aaron McCready Show, okay?
Well, I appreciate that, and if you could, you know, pull your strings, get these other people on, I'd appreciate it.
Well, I'll certainly promote the show, and thank you, Aaron, and you have a great weekend, and Thursday, good luck to Georgia, but you got Ole Miss tomorrow, so good luck with you against the Gators, okay?
Well, yeah, thank you. We may need it. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. That was Joel calling from LJ, Georgia, and he's very feisty, as you can tell. First time ever talking to him, which I appreciate that. We will be right back after this. We're going to go to news, and then we're going to talk a little bit about David Perdue and Nathan Dill and then some of these other issues in the United States. We'll be right back.
Aaron McCready.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Ron Flatter. The man suspected of killing two deputies has been captured in the foothills of Northern California, where a series of carjackings and shootings today left two other people wounded 30 miles apart in Sacramento and Placer counties, each of which lost an officer.
It's unbelievable that one of our deputies was killed by this guy on this crime spree today.
Sheriff spokeswoman Dina Irwin in Placer County, where the suspected shooter was found inside a house.
The suspect is a 30-year-old male, Marcelo Marquez. He has been apprehended by officers. We don't know the conditions, whether he surrendered or how they went inside of that home.
Allie Wolf of Sacramento's Fox 40 reporting from Auburn, California. Authorities are about to update us on today's shooting at a high school north of Seattle where two students are dead. Fox News Radio's Jessica Rosenthal, live in our West Coast Bureau.
Ron, Marysville police say a student with a gun opened fire inside the Marysville Pilchuck High School. A female student was killed and four others were injured, three of them critically, before the student killed himself. Jordan Luton says he was friends with the shooter, whom he says was a freshman.
I know he's a part of the Tulalip tribe. He's always been a pretty good kid, pretty good friends with him. He was a pretty good athlete. I don't know what was going through his head.
He says while he'd recently broken up with a girl and gotten into a fight over someone's use of a racial slur against Native Americans, he did not seem capable of this violence, Ron.
Jessica, to prevent the spread of Ebola, leaders in New York and New Jersey say federal standards for them don't go far enough.
In this area, we need guidelines and procedures that go further.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo joining New Jersey Governor Chris Christie to order 3-week quarantines for any doctor or nurse working in West Africa who flies to Kennedy Airport in New York or Newark Airport in New Jersey. A doctor hospitalized in New York yesterday with Ebola is reported to be in stable condition. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
This is Doug Benson from the hit podcast, Doug Loves Movies. Stay tuned for this week's Watch This, Not That movie review after a word from our sponsor.
Walmart presents Be Ready for the Office Coffer.
Every office has one. That awesome guy who's so committed that he comes to work even when he's sick. So you get to share much more than just email.
Be prepared with 19-ounce Lysol disinfectant spray for $4.97, 80-count Lysol wipes for $4.63, and 2-packs of 12-ounce NyQuil DayQuil severe cold and flu on rollback for $13.79.
Walmart shopper one, coughing guy zero.
Save money, live better, Walmart.
Hey everybody, Doug Benson here. Time for Watch This, Not That. In theaters now, Annabelle and the Judge. In Annabelle, a creepy doll comes to life and terrorizes an innocent family. In The Judge, the great Robert Duvall is still alive and terrorizes a bunch of lawyers. So go see The Judge and not Annabelle. This has been Watch This, Not That. Don't forget to check out my podcast, Doug Loves Movies, on iTunes.
The body found last weekend in the woods near Charlottesville, Virginia, was that of Hannah Graham. It was confirmed today. The 18-year-old student who vanished during the night out last month near the University of Virginia. Police in New York are calling it an act of terror. Yesterday's attack on four young officers.
The NYPD says hatchet-wielding Zale Thompson had converted to Islam 2 years ago.
We at this time believe that he acted alone, that we would describe him as a self-radicalized.
Police Commissioner Bill Bratton says they haven't found any links to organized terror, but his computer shows Thompson was browsing for terror groups, including ISIS, as well as beheadings and the shooting in Canada.
From a preliminary standpoint, if you ask the question, was this an act of terrorism,
It appears at this point that that was the suspect's intent.
The NYPD's deputy counterterror chief John Miller says he also ranted online against Westerners, the government, and whites. Family members say he was reclusive and depressed. In New York, Lisa Brady, Fox News Radio.
Mississippi's Supreme Court has turned down State Senator Chris McDaniel's challenge to the result of the Republican runoff he lost to incumbent Senator Thad Cochran. Judges agreed with Cochran that McDaniel waited too long to appeal the June result. Cochran faces Democrat Travis Childress next month. Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton was campaigning for the Democratic candidate for governor of Massachusetts.
This is one of those election years that really will set the stage for what comes in the future here in Massachusetts and around the country.
Clinton speaking in Boston in support of Martha Coakley, who trails Republican Charlie Baker in most polls, forecasting who will replace outgoing Democratic Governor Deval Patrick. Baseball's World Series resumes in a few minutes. The San Francisco Giants are home against the Kansas City Royals. The two teams split the first two games this week in Kansas City. I'm Ron Flatter, Fox News Radio.
You have read about him in the Huffington Post. You have seen him quoted in Esquire magazine. The Washington Post writes about him, and you saw him on MSNBC. This is Aaron McCready. Give Aaron a call at 646-200-3400. That's 646-200-3400. Also follow him on Twitter at Aaron McCready or visit him on the web at AaronMcCready.com.
Welcome back to the program. I am Aaron McCready. It's great to have you with us. If you've just joined us, you've messed up. It was an exciting first half of the show. Did not expect it to go that way at all. I've got stacks and stacks of papers around here, things I wanted to talk about. But we had a caller, Joel, from LJ, Georgia, called in. And my goodness, I could probably talk with him forever. But, you know, the show must go on, as they say. So I appreciate him giving a call. 646-200-3400, if you want to be another caller, 646-200-3400. Follow me on Twitter at Aaron McCready or visit me on the web at AaronMcCready.com. Now, a couple things before we get into some other items. Today on Twitter I posted, and for all you Twitter followers of mine, and well, we've got to get this Twitter number up. Well, I don't know what I need to do. I'm only at 16,000 Twitter followers, and we need to get that up to like 25,000, and then we'll go to 50, then 100,000, that type thing. But hey, listen. So if you're following me on Twitter, I've been battling Lowe's, the home improvement store, and I talked to them in person today, and I warned them what would happen if they didn't help me out here. And I would do this for any of you listeners out there, too. But I'm going to take on Lowe's Home Improvement Store. And shame on me. The show's broadcast out of Atlanta, Georgia. And I bought from Lowe's and didn't buy from Home Depot, whose corporate office is here in Atlanta. But I'll tell you what, I'll do it from now on. Here's what happened. And this is going to seem like just childish, I know. But I promised you on Twitter I would tell you the story. So here is the story. Just bear with me for 2 minutes, and then we'll get on to politics. So make a long story short, at the first of the month, bought a new washer and dryer. With the washer and dryer, you're supposed to get these pedestals, right? It's this front loader washer and dryer. Well, the pedestals were ordered with the washer and dryer. The pedestals came in late, so they can't deliver separate items on the same ticket separately, so they had to push the washer and dryer back to later this month. So in order to get the washer went out. That's why I need a new washer. The washer went out. So the washer and dryer, I canceled that order, canceled the pedestal order, ordered them separately so I could get a washer and dryer into the house, okay? So now the pedestals for this washer and dryer are supposed to be delivered. They were originally going to be delivered yesterday. Called back, said, hey, I really need you to to deliver it Friday. I'll be home. They said, okay, no problem. So what am I doing all day long? I'm waiting around the house. Now, well, that's fine. But at 10 o'clock I call, and the receiving manager, actually from the Lowe's in Norcross, Georgia on Beaver Ruin Road, if you really want to know, said, oh, call you back in an hour. Hour went by, didn't hear anything. Now it's 2 o'clock. I called their customer service line. They transferred me to the store. Oh, it's going to be tomorrow, Saturday. I won't be home tomorrow morning. Well, I'll give you a call right back. We'll see what we can do. No call. Called at 5 o'clock. This is just going around and around and around. I'm having to do all the work for these idiots over here at Lowe's that can't take care of a customer. And if it's happened to me, it's happened to hundreds of thousands of people. They are morons. Don't do business with Lowe's. If you want your product, if you're going to go into the store and buy something, fine, but don't have it delivered. They're idiots, okay? That's the story. Now, moving on. So, we were talking earlier about career politicians. 646-200-3400 is the calling number. 646-200-3400, the calling number to the show. Talking about career politicians. And, you know, our previous caller, Joel, he had a point. He had a point. But you know what? When you paint somebody with a broad brush like that, you're going to get inexperienced people, and it's going to become amateur hour in the United States Congress, the United States Senate, the governorship in all the states. It's just going to become amateur hour. And so you need to have a little bit of balance between that. You need to have, you know, some people that know what they're doing up there, and there's some new blood up there. But you don't need all this craziness going on that we have right now in Washington. And I think David Perdue will go up there and do an excellent job. So David Perdue in Georgia, and it, the eyes of the nation are going to come upon Georgia, I'm convinced, after November, because the balance of power is going to really depend upon Georgia and see what we do if we send a Republican up there or a Democrat. And if we send a Democrat, God help us all. Especially with this president that we have. But, you know, some things I want to talk about, and I'm going to take on the Republican Party here, and I'm a Republican. One thing I'm very disappointed about, and call me and tell me if I'm wrong, we have listeners all over Georgia, is I don't see any fight in the Republican Party. I know a lot of politicians in Georgia. I know a lot of politicians all over the country. And one thing that I see is the Republicans are talking a good game, but they're not willing to fight for what they believe in. And it's driving me up the wall. They say, oh, we don't want to run a negative campaign. But a negative campaign, in the Republicans' mind, is taking to task the issues of the other person, the Democrat. You know, what happened to the days when the Republican Party and even the Democratic Party actually stood up for what they believed in, could have a respectful debate? You know, here where I live in Georgia, I see yard signs, but I haven't heard anything about the Republican for State House where I live. Not one thing, not even a flyer in the mail, but yet we want to win. You know, I know people that are running for office just to get their name out there. That's what they say. Oh, I'm just doing it just to get my name out there. Well, it's being half-hearted. If your mind's not in it, your soul's not in it, to better our country, get out. I would rather have a Democrat in office than a Republican that's half-hearted and doing it just to get their name recognition and by the small chance that they win an election. And you know who I'm talking about if you're listening. I mean, my goodness, it almost makes me think, okay, am I going to have to run for office in 2 years just to show these Republicans how it's done, to really believe in something and take people to task? Because it's not fun and games. It's the lives of people that's at stake. It's people's money. It's people's livelihood in the state of Georgia, in the United States of America, in other states. It's not just something that you need to just take for granted and do it because you want your name out there. My goodness. Have we lost our minds in the Republican Party? I don't care if the chairman of the Republican Party is listening. I don't care if you're running for office and you're listening. if your mind's not in it, get at least we'll have some people with passion and not some soulless people up there on, in the Gold Dome here in Georgia or up in Washington, D.C., you know, running things. It's absolutely ridiculous. Stand up for something that you believe. Take the other opponent to task. That's the only way the normal average day voter will be able to know what's going on. Instead of voting for yard signs or voting for what flyers they get in the mail. My goodness, Georgia Republicans, wake up. DeKalb County Republicans, wake up. Gwinnett County, Fulton County, wake up. My goodness, what have we gotten ourselves into? People are just running for office because they want to get their name out there. Well, my goodness. I'm so fed up with that. I am so sorry I went on this tirade. I'm sorry if I scared you off. 646-200-3400. I don't drink, but I think I need a beer after that. My goodness. I mean, it really is just aggravating. And then, you know, funny story, just to lighten things up. We only have a few minutes left of the show. But, so, went up to North Carolina this past weekend and visited my family. And they're not from North Carolina, but we kind of rendezvoused in North Carolina there. They live in Virginia, and that's where I'm from. But went in the mountains of North Carolina to spend a weekend with them. And my brother has, you know, gotten into finding out our ancestry. And we always knew that we were Irish. And I've got my coat of arms hanging up in the garage. It's actually a flag. And every now and then I'll fly the flag on the house. And, but anyways, my coat of arms. And actually, you know, well, all that. I won't get into all that. But looking up our genealogy and ancestry. And so my brother started looking into this, and he's really gotten into it. I'm really proud of him. He's went, you know, done a lot of research, went to, you know, the library, the courthouses, got all these documents. And one thing out there, and I've told people that I work with that happen to be black this, and they just laughed in my face. And I looked at them, and I started laughing, and we just got a big kick out of it. But my great-great-great-grandfather is black. So for those of you who think that I'm being prejudiced against our president, I am no more white, I am no more black than the president of the United States. How about that? If you want to see what I look like, go to AaronMcCready.com. My picture will pull up. So, you know, it just goes to show, you know, when you look into your history, you never know what you might find. And, you know, I actually embrace it. I'm not prejudiced. When I talk to somebody, I don't see the color of their skin. It's just a human being to me. It really is. When I run into somebody on the street and they ask, oh, were they white, were they black, were they, you know, I don't know. Because I don't think in those terms. But anyways, I mean, I could go on. And I'm Cherokee Indian too, by the way. So, I mean, I'm just a mix of everything, I guess. Cherokee Indian, I'm black, I'm white, and who knows. We'll find out, I guess. But it's cool because he so far, he may have went back even further, but so far, it dates back to 1710 in Northern Ireland. So I thought that was pretty cool. But, you know, go to Ancestry.com or something, do their free trial, look it up. And they're not a sponsor of the show, by the way. I'll just give them a free plug. But, you know, on a more serious note, a week from Tuesday, we've got the elections in the United States, all across the country. And most of our listeners are very well educated. They know what, you know, who they're going to vote for, what they're going to vote for. But if you don't, take the time now to do the research. Like Joel said earlier, you know, he's worried about his grandkids, the debt of his grandkids. We've got to pay this money off somehow. It's not just your future, it's your children's future, it's your grandchildren's. So really take a look at the candidates, whether it be, if it's just a city office, a state office, federal office, like a senator or congressman, take a look at that. Really dive into what they believe. Don't just look at a flyer in the mail. Don't just look at a TV ad. You can make those sound great. Take it upon yourself to really dive into the issues. And like, does this person really believe what I believe? Does this person really want to take the country, take my state, take my city where I need it to be? And then vote for that person. If you watch the debate coverage that Greg Williams, Charles Horde, and myself were a part of a few weeks ago in Perry, Georgia, at the National Fair Grounds. And by the way, when the fair comes into town next year, you got to go. It's just a massive place. It was awesome. It was awesome. But anyways, really, you know, one thing that stuck out in my mind, and I was actually interviewing Sonny Perdue, and, you know, I explained to him that take the names off of resumes. Take the party affiliation off of resumes and compare the resume. And actually, when I was interviewing him, I was talking about David Perdue and Michelle Nunn. Take their names off. Take their political affiliation off. And look at their resumes. Who will do a better job for our country? Who is more qualified? And it's a no-brainer when you look at it like that. And if you vote for, if you look at it like that and you vote for a Democrat, fine. If you vote for a Republican, fine. Look at also what they believe, not just their job experience. That's what we need to look at. And that's what I want you to look at if you're undecided. And if you're undecided, just a little bit of love for you. If you're undecided right now, you really need to get in the game and figure out who you're going to vote for a little bit earlier. You know, you may be like my brother and get into, you know, start looking into something and be passionate about it. You may get into politics. You may go out and support some people that you really like. And that's what we need to do. We need more people involved in politics, in the political process. Because it's more than your future. It's your children's future. It's your grandchildren's future. The people you love is their future. You know, we had a CNN poll come out that the Georgia Senate race is a statistical tie. You know, and then you have an AJC poll saying that David Perdue is in the lead. You can't go by polls. So don't go by polls either when you're looking at people. Go by your heart. Do your research. That's what we need to do. You know, and then we have politicians like this, and this is what I'm going to play. We only have a couple minutes left in the show. But we have a governor's race going on in the state of South Carolina, Nikki Haley and Vincent Sheehan, I believe is the name. Just off the top of my head, I have it written down somewhere. Let me tell you, this is what we've come down to. And he actually called her, and I'm going to say this, he actually called her a whore on the campaign trail. Listen to this.
Over $100 million in public education funding. She vetoed our public school teachers' pay raises. The same year she gave her own staff 25% pay increases. That is the worst kind of politics, and we are going to escort her out the door. We're going to escort her out the door.
Right here. Listen to him laugh.
Yeah. Think about it, y'all. All right, calm down out there. Huh?
It's a big joke.
Oh, no.
That's
listen,
they want is their
you
governor.
You got to tell the truth. Think about it. We got a governor who's blocking.
We got to tell the truth. And you want him as your governor, South Carolina? Wake up. Now, I don't know Nikki Haley, her personal life. Maybe she does sleep around. I don't know. But you don't need to be saying that on the campaign trail. Have a little bit of class about you. Anyways, I could go on and on and on, but I only have a few more seconds left. Tune into the show Sunday night, same time, 9 o'clock. Tune into the show Tuesday night, same time, 9 o'clock. It's going to be a great show. You know, it's it's really up to me, it's really up to you, to make sure that we make educated voter decisions. And I know I said this before, and I'll say it again. It's really up to you as an individual to make sure your children have a great future, whether it's in their lives, setting up the stage for them to be successful. And voting for the right politicians is going to help set up the stage for them to be successful. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you Sunday night. I am Aaron McCready.